How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM.
It's Thursday night.
Serve Philadelphia and the tri-state area. And as always, I ask that you contact family and friends and invite them to tune into 860 AM if they live in the Philadelphia tri-state area, or if they're outside the area anywhere in the USA, ask them to log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Following today's broadcast, we will send a copy of today's show out to everyone, and please do spread that also to your family members and friends. I want to say a particular thank you to our panel members, who include Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. I encourage you to go to the front page of American Workers Radio, where you will see the link to his store and also his radio program. Larkin Connolly is our national small business advocate, and also Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Click on Rich's picture and you'll also go to his radio broadcast. And with us today is also the very popular Curtis Ellis, who is the director of the American Jobs Alliance, a senior advisor to President Trump, and part of the America First Project. Henry Chaplinsky is our engineer, and I'm Michael Blihash, always pleased to be with you. Before we go to our panel members, I just want to tell you a few little things here, and then we're going to get into the real nitty-gritty of it all. People out there listening, family and friends, you really are the key to our success here in the USA. Today, I'm pleased to report that as more American consumers are going out of their way to look at labels, we're seeing more jobs come about in this country than most of us ever would have imagined 5, 6, 10 years ago. It's created a patriotic consumer. Man, is that nice to hear when I go into the stores and people say, yeah, people are telling me that they're concerned. Not a lot of American-made labels on the shelf. What's going on? I'm also pleased to say that there is a great number of American-made labels, but it's still nowhere near the 50% that we need to make sure that America gets back to where she should be. Now, I want to note for the record that the National Consumer Research Center reports that given a choice between an American-made product and a foreign-made product, even if the American-made product is a few dollars more for a major product, 78% of the American people would rather buy the American-made product because they know that those products are helping keep jobs right here in the USA. Also, recent surveys are saying that businesses are looking to open more lines of products and put them into circulation because they see that the American people are doing their best to go out of their way to pick up those labels. So please, as you go out, think of yourself as a patriotic shopper. Think of yourself as someone who's supporting the jobs of your family, maybe your friends, maybe your neighbors, but people that are living here in the USA deserve our support. And by the way, during the summer season, and boy, we've had a hot summer season, this weekend is going to be another wild weekend. We're looking for 99 and 100 degrees. While you're out with family and friends, don't hesitate to talk to them about the Buy American Made campaign, because this is really how it's done. It's you talk to them, it gives them a good example that you're all enthused about it. You do the same thing to others, whether it's a neighbor or look at the labels. Just give them the idea that you are a patriotic shopper. While you're doing that as well, I encourage you to let them know about AmericanWorkersRadio.com. We certainly are doing our very best to make sure that the message gets out. And with our panel members and the emails that go out constantly, we have a huge email list. It is becoming something that we can be very proud of. Well, today I'm going to ask all of our panel members to speak up and give us their advice. Let me know what you're thinking, and let me know what's going on in the entire USA that you're pleased with or displeased with. Let's start off today with Rich Loges. How you doing, Rich?
Hey, Michael, good morning, and good morning to everyone. I actually, Michael, want thank you for asking and calling on me first, but if Curtis is on, I'm gonna yield the floor to Curtis because I want to hear his what all his fly on the wall post game analysis of everything that happened in Washington this week. Curtis, well, what?
Curtis, give us your analysis.
All right. Well, it's been a wild week, and it's only Wednesday. I was on Fox News the other day talking about the squad. We have the president's really fired up his Twitter machine lately, taking on these crazy gals from the Democratic-controlled House. And, you know, everybody got all of Twitter. Their hearts were aflutter. It's like, oh, my gosh, what's happening here? And it's just amazing the way the president does this. We have someone who came here from a refugee camp, and Ilhan Omar, and she just can't seem to stop bashing this country as a racist, sexist, horrible, you know, concentration camp, essentially, for everyone. Anyway, the president wants to make sure that the American people understand that this is what the Democratic Party is. Nancy Pelosi tried very hard to distance them or put them in a little box and say, well, the Democratic Party is not about AOC and these other crazy leftists. We're actually quite reasonable people. And the president blew that up with his tweet about them. He forced Nancy Pelosi to defend AOC and to defend Ilhan Omar, to defend the indefensible. And so I was explaining to people who didn't quite get it that as long as the spotlight is on AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from the Bronx, is on Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Somalia, from Rashida Tlaib, the first-generation American, Palestinian-American, who considers herself more Palestinian than American, I believe, but that's whatever it is. And then you have Ayanna Pressley, who, despite her years of experience in government, has just become this bitter, negative, very, very toxic presence in the political body of America. As long as they are at center stage, and as long as the spotlight is on them, President Trump is winning, and the Democrats are losing. And Nancy Pelosi understands this, too. That's why she tried to distance her party from them. But they can't help themselves. It was very funny. They had a press conference answering the president's tweet where he basically, see, President Trump channeled Archie Bunker. For those who don't remember, there was a show, in a TV show, a sitcom called All in the Family. And this is in the 60s and 70s. And Archie Bunker was this kind of curmudgeonly old guy. Carol O'Connor played him. And he was a conservative. And his daughter was married to a liberal, and the son-in-law was called Meathead, right? That's what Archie called his son-in-law, Meathead. And he would tell Meathead, and you know, Meathead was against the war in Vietnam, and he was a good liberal, good woke liberal. They didn't call him woke at the time. And Archie called him Meathead and would say, America, love it or leave it. And that was, for those of us who remember the 60s, that was one of the clarion calls. America, love it or leave it. And you would say this to people who were born here, and whose parents were born here, and whose grandparents were born here. And it didn't matter what color you were, it didn't matter what nationality you were. If you don't like it here, get out. Just leave it. And that's basically what the president was saying. So they got all offended, and they held a press conference, and it was really funny to watch the press conference because they started out by saying, we're not going to be distracted. This is, the president's tweets are just a distraction, and we're not going to be distracted. We're not going to let this distract us from us talking about the issues that matter to Americans. And then went on, and we're not going to take the bait. That's what they said. We're not going to take the bait. But they took the bait. They took the bait by having a press conference. They kept the focus on them. They kept the spotlight on them. And then they were back this morning on the CBS Morning Show with Gail King doing it again. See, I have worked for members of Congress. I've worked with many of them. And I have not met one yet who does not love being in the spotlight, who is not addicted to television like crack. And these gals are just true to form. They cannot help themselves. Somebody wants to talk to me? Great. Let me go on TV. I'll be the star. The spotlight will be on me. And it's just, I'll get makeup. I'll get hair design. It'll be wonderful. And Nancy Pelosi, you know she is backstage telling people, don't do it, don't do it, please, don't go on TV, don't hold this press conference, but they can't help themselves. So it was pretty, it's been pretty amusing to watch this, and the president has them just where he wants them. He's got the Democrats corralled. There's, the polling is out, the Democrats themselves did the polling. And in the swing states that matter, in the places that matter, that will determine the outcome of the election next year, everybody knows who Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is, and they don't like her. They know who Ilhan Omar is. She has name recognition over 50%. Her approval rating, 9%. So 90% of the people who know her don't like her. So the president is doing everything he can to elevate them, to put the spotlight on them, and they are taking the bait and going right down. They've stepped into the trap. They can't help themselves. They think they're in heaven. As they said, what was it, the old saying with Harry Truman, give them hell, Harry? You say, I don't give them hell. I just tell the truth, and they think it's hell. They think they're in heaven on TV. Well, it's hell for the Democratic Party, and it's just so amusing to watch. If I can add one more thing, I was at, and we can get to this later. Let's go around with everybody else. I was at there was a conference in, and usually in Washington this weekend, usually these conferences are dull as dishwater, and I avoid them like the plague. But this one, it's really worth talking about. The National Conservatism Conference, and it is a new, first annual conference, a new creature on the block, about bringing nationalism back. It's the conservative movement and the conservative thinking, we're turning into these globalists, and they, you know, we want one world, and America's an idea, it doesn't have borders, it's all about the economic efficiency and global corporations. And here is a bunch of conservatives and a bunch of people talking about, no, it's about the United States of America. What is good for America? We don't want to just be for what's good for corporate profits. We want work and jobs for Americans. That's our goal. We want people to be able to support a family on one income. We want what's good for Americans, American families, and working Americans and jobs in America. And it was really great to hear that. They refocus on the essentials. They're all for an industrial policy, for bringing manufacturing back to America. We have to make the things we buy and buy the things we make. That's what they were talking about there, and it was a sweet song to my heart.
Curtis, I love this group. And by the way, if you have a contact, let's try to get involved with them. Maybe they can come on sometime in the fall or whatever. This is what.
Oh, and how did I forget? It's Made in America Week, right?
Right.
Made in America Week. They were at the White House on Monday. But I'm sure Mark will have something to say about that.
You know, let's return to Rich for a few minutes. Rich, how did you enjoy Curtis's report?
Well, Curtis, thank you. I'm so happy I yielded. And if I can, a couple of comments, please, Michael. So on my show this past Monday and tomorrow, I'm going to have a new article I'm publishing. And in the segment of my podcast and my article is entitled, and it's a question, so it's got a question mark at the end, Time to Nuremberg Congress. And I quote in the article, Michael, there is an oath that every United States representative and U.S. senator takes. That oath, I do solemnly swear I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God. Now, Curtis, unless I misread it, I don't see anything in there about global citizenry. Did I miss it?
Exactly right.
What we have, Michael. And look, it doesn't mean that Republican politicians aren't to this some extent. We know that's true. But what you're seeing in front of us, this is the political version of the Truman Show. It's like the Truman Show meets the Manchurian Candidate, Larkin. You've got members of Congress whose entire existence, Michael, their existence, every nanosecond is scripted. And those are individuals who took their oath.
That's right.
In front of every... Now, look, they represent a district. And in politics, which is sales, you work on behalf of what your constituents want. And you have to balance between what your constituents want and what is good for the nation if you're a federal lawmaker. Curtis, my question is this, though. Are Capitol Hill Republicans actually aware that these people you mentioned, Presley, Tlaib, Omar, Ocasio-Cortez, are the Capitol Hill Republicans aware that they are taxpayer-funded activist actresses? Do they know that? Because if they don't, why not? And if they do, why not say so? See, we have in our Constitution, Michael, Article 1, Section 5, which lays out our... The framers laid out in Article 1, Section 5, the how and why to move forward with expulsion. It's not impeachment in the House and Senate. It's expulsion. And we've laid it out. Why? Because our founders said just because someone is democratically elected, which all of those individuals, Curtis, are, but getting democratically elected doesn't usurp the oath that you take. So our founders... They had Nuremberg before Nuremberg existed. That's how smart these guys were when they did it, Michael. And my last point is this. Yesterday, every Democrat in the House and four Republicans voted yes for a resolution to condemn the president's speech. In other words, his tweets, which is considered speech. The government making a decision. It doesn't matter your party, Curtis. Government making a decision on what kind of speech is acceptable or not should keep every one of us up at night. Because that is exactly one of the reasons that there was a revolution, Michael, in this country.
Yes, and Rich,
as soon as government says this speech is acceptable, that kind of speech isn't acceptable. That kind of speech isn't acceptable. That is exactly what tyranny is.
That's right.
And
you know,
Rich, in front of us now. So I just want to make that point, Michael.
You know, Rich, I want to say this before. It's really weird that this vote even took place. It's not the Congress's job to take votes against any president's remarks or anybody else's remarks. It's insane. That's up to the people to take those things seriously and either reelect or out the president from office. That's not the Congress's job. What is that resolution going to do for us? How much did it cost to get that resolution passed through the House?
It's not, okay, I understand it's not legally binding.
Right.
But it doesn't change the fact that members of one of our two legislative bodies of the federal government made a decision to have a resolution and therefore and thereby a vote to determine what speech is acceptable or not. The First Amendment expressly forbids government from determining what speech is. That is censorship in its truest form, and you're watching it. And it isn't, and Curtis, it's not that Pelosi and all of the Dems and the four Republicans, it's not that they did it that makes my heart rate surge. It's that millions of Americans cheer for it. That's the scary part.
And you know what, Rich?
I haven't heard anyone before you, Rich, point this out, that it is not the job of Congress to be determining what's good speech and what's bad speech. They're acting like those Facebook employees or Twitter employees who are banning conservatives. They're going to police speech? It's just ridiculous. And I have to say, this whole thing where every headline I read in the New York Times, in the Washington Post, on CNN Online, they call it, they decided President Trump's racist tweets. How are they racist? He did not mention race. Nowhere in there. To his credit, Britt Hume, the senior correspondent on Fox News, he said, look, you can say those tweets were xenophobic, they were nativist, they were vulgar, they whatever you want to say, but you can't say they're racist. There was no evidence they were racist. Like I said, go back to Archie Bunker and Meathead. America, love it or leave it. If you don't like it, get out.
Right.
There ain't nothing racist about that. That is just pure, plain-spoken Americanism. The president speaks in the language that people understand, and when the House of Representatives and Nancy Pelosi and her crew decide they're going to censure the president for speaking plain English language that most Americans are saying something that most Americans agree with, they are on very dangerous territory
for their
own reelection and for the reason you just said, Rich, which is a violation of speech.
And I'm going to shut up right here because we're going to mark out again. And even if it were 100% racist, even if it had been, it still gives government zero authority, Michael, to determine the acceptability of speech.
Right. And such a resolution means zero. It took time, effort, staff, the whole deal, and it means zero. All that lobbying, all that inner Congress lobbying, for what reason? The president said what he said. He has to be accountable for what he says, and he certainly is accountable for what he says. The only different thing I would have done is I would have said, anybody, and that means not only the people of Congress, but any American who thinks another country is better, go to that country, stay there for a year, and then come back and tell us, where do you want to live, where do you want to represent, and where would you want to spend the rest of your life? And you'll have no trouble. The news media, the actual national news media, continues to divide the American people by race, color, creed, national origin, and everything else. It's their job. And you know, the sad part of it is that resolution that was passed. If it was passed, okay, amongst the people, it should not have been a mandated vote or anything like that. Some of the people said, well, we didn't like it, that's fine. But the news media picks that up. And all this is a waste of our time, our taxpayer dollars, and a bad example to the young people of America. Because just what you said, Rich, we have the right to say what we want to say, but we also have the right to be there to back up our words. Larkin Connolly.
Good morning, Michael, and good morning to the rest of our panel. I hope you all are enjoying the heat.
Only 100 on Saturday, Larkin. 99 yeah, Friday, yeah. 100 on Saturday. Wait, two friends of mine just came from Italy, and they said, Michael, every day, which was that way in the year 2012, 105 to 116 degrees. So we haven't reached that point yet up our way. I don't know how you're going to fare down there, Larkin.
Yeah, we are going to be just as hot, triple digits. what kills you is the humidity. We're a little bit humidity free this morning, but I'm, you know, that's the killer. Listen, I wanted to make a remark in order to somewhat explain how the squad gets attention. I have a good friend. I think I've told you all before. This gentleman served 12 terms as a congressman from North Florida. He's retired and still loves to talk politics. And what's happened is, in his words, is that the social media has completely changed the game. Back in his day, you were elected to Congress, and if you didn't serve three terms, if you weren't there for 6 to 8 years, you more than likely didn't get a lot of press. You didn't move up the pecking order for chairmanships and memberships on the more important committees. You had to earn your way through longevity, mostly. Now, if they elected me tomorrow morning, I could get as much press as a congressman received after 15 years or 14 years in the House. I don't know if I'm explaining it well enough, but social media and the ability to get in front of the eyes of America as quickly as you can today is what has burst the power that these women yield. And it's, I don't know how one controls that. I don't know that you ever do. I think the cat's out of the bag. And we're going to have to learn how to be political in this kind of environment. But yes, they haven't done anything. They've done less than anything. But they have virtually no problems whatsoever getting attention. And it is social media's role in today's society that's making it so easy for them.
I can't agree more, Larkin, because there's so much anti-American talk these days, not only in our own country, caused by our own people, but around the world. The Chinese are complaining about deals that Trump wants to create with them that is going to help Americans first and not the Chinese, which has been that way for 30 years. A lot of these countries are all helping to divide the American people, and I really feel sad. That is why I enjoy our radio broadcasts. I enjoy working with the people on the Buy American Made campaign, because no matter what we're doing, something positive in a world that has gone awry, it's really going crazy with all this nonsense. It got to the point, many people tell me, that they do not want to watch a lot of the news and they don't want to watch the cable channels because it's the same nonsense. They're still talking about the dossier and all this, which is past history. It seems to be a current event. We have to start talking about what's needed in America today. I give compliments to President Trump because he has made a new position in the Oval Office. The person who comes after him now and 40 presidents later better be looking out for America first and foremost, because what we went through in the last 30 years, I'm sorry to say, the president sort of dwelled in the office. They did not go out of their way to motivate the Congress to do the best job that they could be for America, American workers, and America's youth and future. Yes.
And I will say this. If you were to take any one of those four congresspeople, I think Tlaib is probably the most organized and concise in her speech, although I don't agree with a lot of what she said, especially the other day when she talked to Gayle King yesterday about her responsibility to representing her district by protecting people that have violated the law and have been ordered by a judge to vacate the country. How does she have a responsibility to defend them? That virtually makes no sense. And the length and breadth of it is, their arguments couldn't possibly hold up to anybody who would interview them and ask really, really hard questions like, how do you find it your responsibility to defend somebody who has broken the law and by a judge has been ordered to leave the country? You're going to defend that individual? From what?
And, that's right.
And
I missed that in the oath, Mark. I missed that in the oath where you say you're going to defend and represent those who have had due process and are now under a court order to be deported. Did I miss that in the oath somewhere?
Yeah.
I don't think I did.
Do we put something in the oath to bring as many people as we can to work against the American worker?
That
to work against the American businesses?
Two.
Maybe that should be added to the oath.
Yeah, let's just keep exactly. Let's keep adding. What else do you want? You hungry? You want pizza? Double pepperoni? What else we need? What else we need on it? What else we want to get on there? Three genders, men having abortions. People cheered men having abortions at the first debate. You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
It's the Truman Show.
Yeah, but wait, under certain medical plans, they are paying for that service even though they're not eligible for it.
It is truly the Truman Show that we're in front of. That's what we're seeing, Mark, and you're right about what you're saying.
And I'll tell you, the most embarrassing part, to encapsulate everything that I said, the most embarrassing part is, guess what? Everybody in the world is reading this.
Yes, that's
everybody,
but Larkin, everybody in the world is loving it, because the more they can divide America, the greatest nation on earth, the more they'll be able to take us over. Khrushchev said one time, we won't have to take America over. America will destroy itself. You remember that? He took the shoe off. I remember seeing the YouTube of it. And that's what we're doing by allowing all this focus on these anti-American people. What I suggest to all those four ladies and four men or whoever is involved, that they all go live in the country of their ancestry for 6 months to a year and then come back to America and let us know what that country's doing better than us. You like that idea, Mark?
Absolutely. How you doing, guys? A lot going on, like, on our side. Great talk, crazy, crazy times indeed, like you said, with America and everything you're talking about and hearing about. Again, my parents, 82, 81, coming. They'd never seen nothing like this going on TV. And Rich, a while back, you offered free rides to the airport to anybody that wouldn't leave this beautiful country.
That's right.
That's still on. And
open invitation.
Logis is a good driver, by the way.
Open invitation. I got a little radio flyer wagon. We'll put it on the back.
Offer that quite
the car in case we need it.
But one of our first shirts was the Iwo Jima sculpture on the back with America, love it or leave it. So, Curtis, that shirt I've had for 9 years, and we still sell that proudly. I'll tell you, I came off vacation. I was away for a few days up at a small lake, but then I went to a jam in the valley, which is up by us, 20,000 great Americans, and I'll tell you the respect, not only for your show, Mike, for everything we do as a mission of the Made in America store. We've got our own stage there that we sponsor, and then we're a big part of the show. But our new shirt, Made in America, Boots Not Suits Built America on the back was a huge hit. The blue line, red line, respecting police officers and firemen were top sellers. But the respect and the true Americans that are there was just a lot to be said about what you're talking about and what's not seen on TV and the happiness on what's going on. The biggest talk I've heard in the last days, there's not only skilled workers, there's no workers. And that's a compliment to President Trump because the economy is booming. There's no workers to be found. The millennium problem's real. There's a lot going on, but workers, there's none because we're busy again, and we dropped the ball 40 years ago. And we definitely got to change, you know, the education. It's changing, but not fast enough. In the last weeks, just the shortage of workers, which is great in a way because the country's growing so rapid. But, you know, the Made in America event I want to talk about, Curtis, you touched on it. Don Buckner was invited to the White House this past Monday, and he went down, and it was the basically, they have a showcase celebration of the products made in America. And Curtis, you probably know of it. It was 9 to 11 o'clock Monday. Don Buckner was very excited leading the Made in America campaign and event to be held in the Indiana Convention Center the first week of October. But a big plus, Made in America matters. Made in America is alive and well. And Don, you know, I'm trying to get a full report from him back, but the traction of this show is really growing. Rich, you've been asking for details. My assistant, Sue's off. We're going to be getting heavily into it next week, so we'll be answering all the questions and trying to get American Workers Radio there. A lot of great things going on with that Made in America event. I think it's going to be one of the largest events ever held in the country at a perfect time in this crazy political times. 23 of the people running for president, I just want to say, you know, none of them, did they ever hold a job? Did they... Their political background, even Biden, did he ever hold a job and know what businessmen truly go for, you know, through? But, Mike, so much going on, but I want to make sure everybody knows the Made in America movement's fully alive and well. Spending 4 days with 20,000 little crazy Americans with some music Henry would like, it's nice to see how respectful they are of the Made in America movement and how important it is to our country to buy American and support the country they live in.
Yep, you're right, Mark. I can't tell you how many places I go and the people are so enthused. I don't know of anybody who tells me they like the idea of seeing poverty on America's streets.
Mike, so you'll know when you listen to the TV, like I tape World News or Fox, whatever, and then you go to a true event that you're with and mixed with the people talking to them, it's such a difference. It's scary.
Right. That's exactly right. And nobody's asking you, Mark, how can we increase more poverty? How can we have more people laying on the streets? And by the way, I keep hearing these reports about how many people are on the streets of California. They have tent cities and everything else. Why aren't these people in Congress trying to address that? Why aren't they trying to address that? Those are the places they were elected to represent. Some of these congressmen got in with a matter between Democrat and Republican, 15, 20,000 votes. So they're speaking now so high, wide, and handsome. Over 20,000 voters who voted toward them rather than the other candidate. That's not a lot. And look at the attention they're taking away from the good things that could be done in America. There's no common sense with what's going on.
Being with 20,000 hardworking, good Americans enjoying themselves, and then seeing how the media is always trying to cripple and demoralize the president of the United States, it's crazy to see it.
Well, his job is to promote America first. If whatever he does, he's gotten more publicity for that office. It's going to be very hard for future presidents.
And he stayed who he was.
That's right. He's not a faker. He's doing what he thinks is best. Where I go, people tell me that. They were disappointed when they looked back and they said, my God, all my children went to school. None of them had access to the trades. None of them had access to a teacher asking them to prepare a resume before graduation so they know what their possibilities are. None of that. We're seeing now so many changes in our school system where people are saying we must restore the trades. Look at the jobs that are opening. Look at the possibilities our boys and girls are not, you know, having access to. In the fall, I'm looking forward to bringing on some of the leaders from the schools. In fact, we're going to start off with Delaware County Community College, Delaware State University. Some of those people are going to come on. I've been in contact with them. We will be very surprised to see what they're doing. Haven't done it. It's only a two-year. It started up 2 years ago. It ended 30 years ago, which means there was a 28-year gap. in no trades in those schools. Why did that happen? Where were all these Congress people? Where were the governors? Where were the local state senators and representatives? What the hell was going on?
Yeah, you know, and it should be the number one thing discussed at these debates, the number one.
Number one. What are you doing to make America great? What are you doing to get poverty under wraps? What are you doing to make sure that every young person has the potential, the human potential, to move forward in their life? Not just dwell, but move forward.
Yeah, train these people how to earn a living.
Earn, work, save, and move forward. That's the, that's what made America great from 243 years ago. That's what we did. We tried to get rid of a foreign government from taking over and ruling us. We did that through the Declaration of Independence. We have a constitution produced a few years later. Bill of Rights, the whole deal. Why are these people now taking all of our attention away from what we were organized to do? We did successful for over 200 years, and now they've dragged us down.
You know, and I've always admired Marx's earners and learners, a culture that he so vividly believes in and promotes all the time. But if I could just interrupt for a second and give you a report of what tomorrow's news will be, and this will give you an idea of how little Congress is doing about the things they should be concerning themselves with and not this gobbledygook. But according to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, the government is going to run out of money earlier than expected. They're going to run out of money while Congress is on vacation in September.
And what is that going to do for us, the taxpayers?
Well, for the taxpayers, if they don't move some money around, figure out or raise the debt ceiling again. Why even create a debt ceiling if all they do is raise it one month after the next? But what it could possibly do is that the government will default on Medicare payments, Social Security payments. The default would raise what it essentially would do. You know, the U.S. debt instruments, our U.S. bonds, are currently considered the safest asset anybody can be involved in the world, because they believe that they'll be paid back and that they'll get their money in full. But if the Treasury can't honor those bonds, we're talking about the introduction of possibly another currency, and not the American dollar being the basis of the world economy. I mean, I would ask Curtis, is that a completely wild thought? That we could actually lose the command of the world economy by having the U.S. dollar replaced by the yen.
That's right.
If we
has been talked about, Curtis, for maybe 6 years now.
Well, nobody talks about it now, and we're about to run out of money again. At the end of next month, we're going to run out of money. And if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling, we're back in the position that we've been in so many times. Let's just keep on printing money. Let's just keep on spending money on things that we can't do. I mean, I understand insurer illegals. I mean, we want to give illegals health care. And I keep on asking, what about our own middle class? What about the children that go to bed hungry every night? What about the vets?
About the vets laying on the street, begging on the street corners? What about the people in California laying all over the streets that the tourists cannot avoid them in certain sections of the city? Why isn't that being discussed?
Well
because it's discussed. A narrative, right? I mean, it's just,
right.
Anyway, go ahead, please.
I think Pelosi herself should have her whole staff cooking and serving all the people on the street. Say, look, I'm doing something for you.
She doesn't think anybody's hungry. from her perch, she doesn't see what we see. She has no idea. I'd invite her very aged young self to Putnam County, Florida, and let her see how the other side of the world, our own country, is living right now. She has no idea.
As we just
$54 million. What does she know?
Right, but see, the thing is, Larkin, this is not just a Democrat or a Republican problem. These both sides had access to the government for many, many years. The fact is, the people in Washington looked out for themselves first. Not the American worker, not the general public, not Americans' veterans once they come home. They looked out for themselves. The day after they were elected, they ran to raise money for their reelection. They didn't give 2 cents of concern about that. They should be mandated to work within the communities they serve, neighborhood to neighborhood, zip code to zip code, so that people know who they are, not, you know, somebody they see on a television, but somebody. I go out into the community. Everybody knows who I am, when the communities that I work with and represent. Why aren't these people doing that? They don't know. I would like to see all the homeless areas be identified. I wish one of the news stations would go out there and look at those tent campuses that they've built up. Even in Hawaii, the homeless have come out in big numbers because it's nice weather and they are given some food and this and that. Why is this not on the television so that the people know? And why isn't it told more, and I mean more, that we are in the greatest economy we've seen in 60 years? Why is it not told that there are more people working today, even with an increased population in this country, than ever before? Why are all these things avoided? I don't understand it. But the common person I meet sees that clearly, yet the national leaders and the national media doesn't look that way.
In that same spirit, you hear endlessly on TV, because I watch this stuff closely, they keep telling us that the tariffs that President Trump put in place against China are a tax on consumers, and consumers will pay that price. Consumers will pay higher prices because of the tariffs that the president put on China. They said that endlessly, repeatedly. You hear it from Neil Cavuto on Fox. You hear it from everybody on MSNBC. They state this as a fact. Well, the fact is, the government tracks consumer prices twice a month. You get consumer price index, you get producer price index, the wholesale prices, the retail prices, broken down by category, broken down by products. There has been, and you look at these numbers, which are never reported in the media, there is no inflation. Consumers are not paying the price of these tariffs. China is eating it. China is bearing all the costs. So the fact is, just like the fact is, this is the best economy we've seen in a long time. Record hiring, record wage growth, record layoffs are low, unemployment low. They never report that. They don't report the facts. The facts are there is no inflation. The fact is, prices are not going up despite the tariffs. The cost of an automobile is flat. They said, well, with 25% tariff on steel and aluminum, the prices are just going to go through the roof. Consumers are going to be paying more for cars. You look at the statistics, you look at the numbers, the cost of a passenger car has not changed. And in every category, consumer prices, there is no inflation. And they don't report any of this. You're exactly right, Michael.
It's the boogeyman effect. Oh, if we do this, it's that. We're gonna have this and that. By the way, as Mark has said many times, there are no tariffs on American-made products. My encouragement continues to be more companies opening, making competitive products right here in the USA, and we are in the catbird seat.
That's right, because we will be raising the incomes of Americans. When they're working, they're earning more. And sure, it may cost businesses a little bit more to pay an American,
to make this stuff than to pay some slave labor camp resident in China to make this stuff. But that way Americans will have more money to buy the products. It's just basic common sense that Abraham Lincoln figured this out over 100 years ago. You have to be a producer to be a consumer. You can only consume as much as you produce. You got to produce something to trade it for what you can consume. If you ain't earning any money, you can't consume anything. So
that's right. That's exactly right. The old expression, no money, no funny, no money, no products for you to purchase.
That's right.
You can't go up to a gas station and say, fill it up with $10 in your pocket. I mean, it's common sense. This is what should be discussed by the people in national offices. We are going to work with you to get the prices of everything down, not go up. Up, up, up. We are not going to allow additional taxes, federal landline taxes on your phone and all, to go up. Everything is going to stay flat as to where it is right now until things straighten out in this country. We have to have our companies getting to a point where they know where they're going, not just continue to be fighting every week with prices going up. I look at a phone bill, the next thing you know, this tax went up, that tax went up. Why? Why?
Well, that's exactly what President Trump has done with the tax cuts and the regulation cuts. That
right.
We're gonna tell businesses, we're gonna cut your taxes, tell people too, we're gonna cut your taxes, so you can count on it, you can plan on it, and we're gonna cut the regulations, so you're not holding your breath waiting for the next 500-pound weight to drop on your head. As a new regulation comes out of the bowels of the government bureaucracy.
Right.
So now your costs aren't going to go up. You can start hiring here. And to boot, we're going to put tariffs on imported goods. So you have every incentive to make them here in America.
You know, Curtis and everybody else, I noticed that with all this controversy in the last week, there's been very little promo, very little publicity given to any of the presidential candidates. They're like taking the second back seat on all of it. Have you noticed it? There's nothing. They couldn't buy their way into negative publicity or positive. They can't do it. Because
the squad, the Ilhan Omar squad.
I would like for them to tell us what is so bad about America and what is so good about other countries. I'd like to have a scoreboard. You know what I'm saying? Let's have two teams. Show us what's good in America, what's better somewhere else. And then if it is better somewhere else, maybe then you should move. You know, so many people said they were going to move. If this one was elected, that one was elected. Nobody moved. They're still in place. I'm still waiting for them to move.
That's, you know, Michael, that's a good one. They should, the president should retweet that of all the people who are saying, if President Trump's elected, I'm going to leave the country. Well, when they said they were going to leave the country, were they like being like self-racist or something? I mean, were they, President Trump really encouraging them to do what they said they wanted to do?
Exactly. And there's probably no country or island that would have wanted them in the first place, other than to be visitors, not to be permanent residents. I mean, we have to be serious about these things. I'm glad that we were on this subject today because it shows us how much of our time has been taken away from the real issues. American workers want jobs. People who are unemployed want jobs. I want to talk about some of the people that are in the welfare program saying they would like to see government force them, not ask them, but force them into training programs so that they can apply for jobs in the future with some certificate. That's very interesting. That is very interesting. And anybody who's been in human services knows exactly what I'm talking about. There are so many job programs out there right now that are packed. They're running 16-hour-a-day classes. They should open more of those programs so the people who are on welfare because they had to go on welfare because they didn't have jobs can get the training that is needed for the modern market, the technology market in the USA and around the world.
you want to send a liberal over the edge, tell them that, listen, we don't have any problem with entitlements, and we think if you deserve entitlements, you deserve entitlements. But we're going to put a new thing into effect where shortly before you get your check, you have to take a drug test. Because if you're on drugs, we're not giving you our money. Why would we give you money if you're a drug addict?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, this was a very, very quick hour. But I want to say, we did a lot of things, and I want to just say, no matter who is the president of the United States, now or in the future, their job is to represent America first. That's what's happening in Washington. It's taking people's breath away to see it happening. But more and more people are seeing that this kind of leadership is what we should have had for 30 years. That's my bottom line. And next week I'm going to ask everybody to give us some idea what they find is the best thing in America. What's America all about? What do we find as the best thing that America has to offer? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it is time for us to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spreading the word. If you're on our email list, do spread that email when you get it with our link from today's broadcast. And also, if you would like to join our e-list, there is a link right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Look for American, buy American, and thanks for tuning in. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Larkin, Rich, Mark, Curtis, Henry. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Dovizenya.
Have a great week.
Thank you.
The preceding program, the Polish American Radio Show, was brought to you by Polish American Radio.